This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again on Old Dan, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. We're happy to be back with you folks. Wherever you are, we've gone on a bunch of new stations lately, and I'd like to hear from some of you who are hearing us over the new station, and I'm getting out a list of all those stations. I'd like to mail it out to you if you'd like, and if you give me your address. But we're back in our study now in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We're coming along quite well there every day, day by day. We're looking there in the 10th and 11th verses. But we were speaking about Joseph's death. Old Joseph could have left his sons wealth and nobility had he chosen. But he chose rather for them to enter into that covenant of God's people, which was invisible to them, and for them to inherit the riches of Egypt, which were visible. So he brought his sons to Jacob to be blessed and made partaker of the covenant promises or the covenant blessing. How many parents today will sell their very soul of their children to have them partakers of the visible, of the social world, of the wealthy life of this world, never thinking about the covenant of an eternal God? Isn't that so? Oh, you have it on every level, my friend. We have it. I see it wherever we go. Our mission places, we see folks selling their soul for their children. The only thing they want is the visible things. And we're going to come to the faith of Moses after a while. And when he said he looked for him who is invisible to the human eye, Hebrews 11:27. Now I want to look this morning to him who is invisible to the human eye, but real to the eyes of the soul. That's how we see the Lord, with the eyes of the soul. I have so many folks now in this day of apostasy that we have, and all of the easy believingism, so-called, and now on the scene of all of the signs and wonders and things. But listen, we see through the eyes of the soul that the Lord is ours. He's mine. He was wounded for me. He died for me. He was buried for me. He arose for me. He ascended. And now he's praying. He's longing for me. He's crying for me. He loves me. Someday I'll go home to be with him if he tarries. I commend that to you, my friend. There's no regret there. No regret. Call me a fool if you want to. Folks have done that. Call me all kind of crackpot, old kook, and all those things. But you go ahead and call me that. But no regret there. Call me crazy if you will. No regret there. Young man, go on. Build your life, your fame, and social life, and wealth. Gain everything that you can put your hands on. Never become a partaker of the covenant of grace. You come to die, you'll leave it all behind, and you'll have nothing to recommend you to the generation that you leave behind. By faith, listen now, Hebrews 11:22, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. In the closing hour of Joseph's life upon the earth and honors and luxuries of the land of exile, we see that this holy man of God, he didn't forget the promises of God, nor was his soul bound to this earth. He was not earthbound like I see so many folks today. How many of us are earthbound? We see that Joseph's mind was set on higher things than this perishing world. Did you know this world is perishing? Where is Egypt today, my friend? Where is it? Joseph was able to look down with contempt upon that people, that which the world prized most. He was not ashamed to be identified with God's people, though he was a ruler of Egypt. As I said in our last study, many of us are ashamed to be identified with God's people. Do you find yourself to be that way, my friend? I do. I find so many people. I have folks now who are ashamed to stand up in the prayer meeting and say, Pastor, I want to be saved. Or, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need grace and strength to go on. Folks are just ashamed to do that. I don't have no can't be no other reason. No. We want to just soft pedal our testimony when we are surrounded by the world. That's what we have today. Just a soft peddling. And that's what many of our pastors do. Just soft peddle the gospel. And folks ask me here many times, Pastor, what do y'all preach over there? We preach Christ. Christ born of a virgin, died on the cross and buried, risen, and now exalted at the right hand. Did you know, my friend, there's not but one truth in God's word, and that is that Christ died for sinners? Have you ever seen yourself as a sinner? One of the distinguishing things that I see now on the religious world, nobody wants to be a sinner. Nobody accepts the fact that they're a sinner. The Bible said there are none righteous, no, not one. I wish you'd go there and read first three chapters of Romans. You'll see the total depravity of the human heart. Joseph had wealth. It didn't injure him, but he was used of God's glory, to God's glory. That in spite of the claim of the world upon him, his mind was stayed upon Jehovah God. He believed the promises of God and was not ashamed in the midst of idolatry to be identified with Jehovah Jesus. I think much about Daniel over there being cast into the lion's den. And because he would not bow down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, or he prayed three times a day and they accused him of that. And then the Hebrew children, they didn't compromise with the world. They didn't compromise with Nebuchadnezzar. No, sir, not one thing. Now, my friend, I'd ask the Lord, if I were you, if I was ashamed, just like some of our pastors and preachers that I speak to oftentimes, and they tell me they can't preach like the old trailblazers, I'd lose my audience. I'd lose my congregation. I'd lose my good givers. Well, I'd lose them, folks. I tell them oftentimes, maybe a little sarcastically, get a broomstick and put up your backbone and take a stand for the Lord. Did you know one day you'll have to take a stand? That's right. One day you'll have to take a stand. No matter where he was, he always gave his testimony as being identified. To Joseph, Egypt was nothing to be compared to Canaan, because in his heart, he had been weaned from the things of the world, and he had a keen eye upon what? The covenant of God. And the covenant of God and the covenant promises, because he believed them, my friend. I ask my people here at Radio Missions many times, do you believe God's word? Do you just believe God's word or not? I get some funny looks from people when I ask that question. They think, well, surely we believe. No, do you believe it? Do you believe that Christ died for sinners? I have folks who tell me they're not saved, and they won't believe that Christ died for them. They just won't believe it. They look like a scared possum in a headlight. They don't know what you're talking about when you ask them, do they believe the Lord? But listen, I ask you at this time, do you have your eyes upon the covenant, the promises? Do you search your Bible? Oh, my friends, let's just stop there and drive a peg down there. Does the Bible have any significance in your life, my friend? Do those things mean more than the world to you? Do they mean everything to you? Do you have your eye upon the Lord? If everybody else denied them, if they went away, here's what God said. I believe it. I believe it. My life rests upon the promises of God. No matter what the world says, I'll just rest there. I'll just stay there. I'll live there. I'll die there. Now, my friend, we need some consecration like that, don't we? Oh, give us a people like that, oh Lord. Give me a congregation that'll take a stand on the side of truth. Then we see, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. We see here the strength of his faith. He'd been taught the promises of God regarding Israel. As we said, we find those promises recording in the 15th chapter of Genesis. Joseph remembered these promises and the departing of the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. He knew God would keep his word. He was not looking for outward signs of his fulfillment. No, 200 years had passed since Jacob had moved into Egypt, and there was not one outward sign that the promise would ever be fulfilled. But he believed God and the promises of God that someday the children of Israel would go back to the land of Canaan. Now, let me tell you something. We are in a religious day today. Our theological professors, our preachers, our religious leaders are having to find something fantastic or to work up to get their students and members interested and get them talking about something like the fool that came out and said God is dead back there years ago and caused a stir all over the world. And then the seminaries are talking about it. And like this movement of speaking in tongues, Baptist churches now going over to speaking in tongues, so-called, they've got nothing. Cold, formal, ritualistic, dead, religiously. They've got to go out. They've got to have something to animate that old corpse. That's right. Satan's giving it to them. Brother, you came out of that mess. Listen, you know what I'm talking about. I came out of it. What's drawn you here today? Nothing but the gospel. Nothing but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the demonstration today. What is the gospel? What the Christ will do? I'm not compromising with you, my friend. I'm going right down the line. None of us are compromising. The world calls me a fool, calls the old trailblazer a fool. But when the Lord saved me, they've made the statement that this ministry wouldn't last till the water gets hot. Listen, you can't build a people with the gospel of preaching like that. No. This church is a demonstration of what the gospel has done now for all these years. And we've never pulled our punches. Our former pastor never pulled the punches. And we're not fixing to do it now. Oh, may the Lord help us in this hour. You don't have to have anything but the gospel of the Lord preached under the power of God's anointed spirit that'll cut our hearts asunder and bring folks to the feet of Christ crying for mercy. Then, listen, you've got a people that love the Lord and they'll stay together. They work together. Every one is but just held together by one power, the power of the risen spirit and risen Lord. That's what helped old Joseph. And that's what holds us today. But we're going to get back to Joseph in our next study. We're looking there at how the Lord blessed him and the promises he believed. And let's remember, if you will, we'll be here every day, Monday through Friday at the same time, the old trailblazer. And many of you folks who are hearing us for the first few times, would you call us or write us and let us know that you're listening? Our mailing address is the old trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785. And my phone number here at the office, area code 225-664-8658. You can call me here. If I miss you, I'll call you back. Leave your number with the secretary, and I'll call you back. But I would like to hear from you. If you would help us with the broadcast now, we're going on all those news stations. We'll need a little help before long. And tell me that you're praying for me. Old trailblazer, just an old country boy. The Lord picked up and saved. I don't have a lot of theological information. You can tell that by my preaching, can't you? One man called me and said, "I'm amazed at your ignorance." Well, that's okay. He didn't tell me anything I didn't already know, because I knew it before he did. But I'm walking down the road with the Lord, going down the road. And so remember my mailing address, the old trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. Goodbye.